This is foolishness to the natural mind. Three persons in the Godhead is foolishness to the natural mind. But there was a people in Colossae that received this doctrine. It's the doctrine of Christ and very Christ himself, and they received it. And as they received Christ, let them continue to walk in him, to be rooted and built up in him. And to the natural mind, the idea of three persons in the Godhead. They say, you foolish people, you got three gods. You got three gods, and yet you say there's one God. It's a type of foolishness. But yet, beloved, isn't it very truth to your soul that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are one? These three are one. We believe that. We can't explain it, but yet it's a very cardinal doctrine, the bedrock of our religion, the religion of Christ Jesus our Lord. When he come down here as a man, tabernacled in the flesh, this great God that was in union with the body of Jesus Christ and tabernacled among men, this is his doctrine. This is what he taught. We are not to depart from it, nor lay it aside, nor be deceived by the vain philosophies of men. They would draw you away from Christ and tell you that you need to be circumcised, and you need the great writings of men, and you need to grow up and not to be drawn away in this foolishness and not to believe in superstitions about spirits and ghosts and devils and things like this, but to face life as it is. And if you can't see it, if you can't touch it, nor taste it, nor smell it, nor feel it, dismiss it. That's what there is. What you see is what there is. There's no transcendent God. There's nothing outside of the material universe. And they taught in that day, and now they've even the scientific world now claims through these Hubble telescopes and so forth that, sure enough, we've got an expanding universe. It started sometime, you know. For a long time, they said, it's always been, you know. It's eternal. And these forces in there, it's all one and the same thing. God and the material universe, the trees and the animals, that's all God. God is that, and that is God. And this has been a doctrine for many, many years, and there's two eternal forces, the forces of good and the forces of evil, the forces of light and the forces of darkness. That was the Gnosticism that was going around. This is what the Apostle Paul is fighting and with the truth of our Lord, that we should acknowledge the Father. He said that he wanted that their hearts be knit, comforted, being knit together in love in the full riches of full assurance of understanding. Oh, that our understanding might be enlightened. The Apostle John says he gives us an understanding. He is our understanding. He gives us an understanding. And that's why you can believe this, which is considered foolishness as far as the wise men of the world is concerned. You can believe that there's three persons in the Godhead. You can believe that the second person of the Godhead was united in a man named Jesus, born of a Virgin Mary, which is utter foolishness to the scientific and natural mind. They discard that as being fables and old wives' tales and such. But by faith, beloved, the power of God working in you, the faith of the operation of the faith of God, having quickened you from a dead state of sins and translating you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, enables you to lay hold to these truths. These dear people, like all of God's people, left to themselves in nature, are taken away unto dumb idols. But God sends his ministers and preaches the gospel to them, and the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth. The testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. And when a man preaches Jesus, beloved, the Spirit bears witness to it and says yea and amen. And there's no yea and nay about it. It's yea and amen. When the truth in Christ is preached, beloved, there's an affirmative, a vowel acknowledgement of it in the heart of God, us dear children. And so that's how they receive Christ. That is experimentally. The new birth didn't come by Paul preaching the gospel to them. They were not regenerated by that power, but they were regenerated by the Spirit of God. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. It's like the wind. Our Lord and Master taught us when he tabernacled here among us. He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And he said, the Spirit is like the wind. It blows where it listeth. You don't know where it comes from nor where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. That's the little babe. That's the young lass, the young man, the aged man. It is God's way. So is everyone. They are born of the Spirit of God. It's not the flesh profiteth nothing, but it's by the Spirit. That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. And so God then comes according to his foreknowledge and his predetermined purposes and calls his children. He speaks and they live. Then, beloved, they are candidates to hear the apostle preach the gospel. They are candidates to hear Epireus. Epireus here? He said, who is a dear minister of God for you, the minister of Jesus Christ for you. I've lost that right now, but, and he said, I'll just tell you about it. I can't find it right now. But he, Apostle Paul, had never seen these people in the flesh. But there was a minister by whom they had heard the gospel preached and had received Christ in their soul and in their understanding by the faith of the operation of God. And his name was Epaphras. And he said, who is a dear minister of Jesus Christ for you? And I think we need to note how the apostle says that. He didn't say Epaphras is your minister. He didn't say that he's a minister of the church there at Colossae. He said he is a minister of Jesus Christ. And we need, beloved, if I'm a minister, indeed a minister of Christ, to preach Jesus to you, it's because Jesus Christ has called me and qualified me by his own power and by his own will. Beloved, I never heard of a primitive Baptist church or a primitive Baptist people when God began to deal in my life and to make known to me what a great sinful person I was and how my soul was condemned before his righteous judgment bar. And call me if I'm not deceived, and led me into the way everlasting, led me to his dear people and the church, and showed me, revealed his precious truths, a portion of them to my soul, that are more precious than gold and the honeycomb. It's the most precious thing that you can have, beloved. The soul thrives upon it. The soul is liberated. The soul is delivered from the clutches and snares of men and false apostles and false Christ and false ministers, because the truth of God makes you free. All of this was done for my dear soul before I ever knew there was a primitive Baptist in the world. And so, beloved, if I'm a minister for Jesus Christ unto you, give him the praise and the honor and the glory. It's not due to the church. It's not due to the ministerial association somewhere. It's not due to mama and daddy. It's due to Jesus, our blessed Savior and our Lord. He's building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he knows how to give Peter the keys to the kingdom of God. Beloved, he can unlock your heart and your mind and your understanding. He can come to you with great grace and love to where you love him and love his doctrine and love his church and love his people above everything that's in this world. Don't want to be drawn away with these things. He says, being Not only are we circumcised with a circumcision not made with hand, but we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Our beloved, we are buried in baptism, first by the Spirit of God. You are baptized by the Spirit before you are ever called for baptism in water, portraying what you believe that has been done for you inwardly. We can acknowledge him. The apostle says that he wants these believers there to be rooted and built up in the most holy faith, that our understanding might be opened up to the acknowledging of Christ. Beloved, we want to acknowledge him. We want to witness, be a witness, not a witness in stone, but a living witness, a living temple of the true and living God, of Jesus, God's prophet, priest, and king, and our prophet, priest, and king. We want to acknowledge him and his ways of God and of Father and of Christ. We want to acknowledge this great God, whom, as in the person of the Father, chose us, elected us, foreknew us in an everlasting, eternal covenant, and Christ, who redeemed us by taking on himself a body without sin, coming into this world. We want to acknowledge that, confess it with the mouth, that it might redound to the glory of God. The church is like a candlestick set upon a mantle. A light goes from it. It's like a city, a beloved, where people can come to for safety and for refuge, for food and for comfort. And so the church of God is that which acknowledges God and the Father and of Christ and the Holy Spirit, what he has done and is doing, and how it is the great triune God. Salvation is of the Lord. That's Jehovah God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Salvation is of them. And so then we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in himself. And so Christ, this great God that came down into this world and took on himself a body, a human body, a male body, which the little lambs portrayed. He was a lamb without spot and without blemish. He was that which was the one that was sent. He was the messenger. He was a Messiah. He was Jesus, none other than that which had been long promised by all the prophets and all of portrayed in the law of Moses. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so then you were buried. You were dead in trespasses and sin. And dead people, beloved, do not on their own get up and come to Christ. They do not receive Christ. They do not lay hope to Christ. Neither do they lay hope to eternal life, which is in Christ. Neither do they follow after him nor love him. Because if we're going to believe the doctrines that Christ said, he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And he said, you love me because I first love you. And beloved, that's not hard to understand. But yet, look at the multitudes that just teach it opposite from that. That's not hard words, just not big words. There's hardly any word in there that a grammar school child cannot spell for themselves. It's just hard to accept because it's contrary to the way the natural man thinks and the natural philosophies of men. They have it. They feel that God is obligated to man, that he must do like they think. They will quickly tell you, my God has not elected anybody. Have you ever heard anybody make that statement? My God is not a God of election. He gives everybody a chance. I heard a young man say the other day, he said, oh, no, he said, this was on a film I saw. He said, I don't believe in hell. He said, everybody's going to heaven. God's going to take everybody into heaven. He said, it's going to take some longer to get there than others. He said, I believe in reincarnation. He said, you just keep circling around in this world until you get good enough to go to heaven. That's the purpose of reincarnation. You know, you come down here and you live, and if you don't do too good this time, well, you get another chance. And you keep on until finally you learn how to get good enough to go to heaven. Now, that was a fine-looking young man. Looked like a little angel, you know, to look at him. Tall and black-headed. And just to look at him, you think, well, what a fine-looking man. Fine-looking young man. But that's his philosophy. And he was just as convinced of it as he could be. And there was another young lady interviewed, and she said, if you find some comfort in the Judeo-Christian religion, these things comfort you, she said, that's fine. She said, as far as me, I don't need those things. I'm a rising senior in a certain college, you know. I'm far above that. I just don't need that. If it's relative to you, if it's comforts you, that's good. And any religion that's good, that you get comfort out of, is good. They're all good. You can find enough in any of them to get to heaven. Some testified to that. That's the philosophies of men, beloved. The world is rampant with it, but they don't need Jesus. What? They are all right. Why do they need? Why do they need a bleeding lamb? Oh, that bloody religion! They don't need it. They're fine just as they are. Why God wouldn't dare not accept them and their works? They are so lovely and so good and so wise. Why God would be tickled to death to have them to come join His church, come into heaven and be with Him. Now that's the attitude, beloved. I'm not exaggerating. When we're at, I can show it to you on a film. I got it. I've talked with people, and they say, well, God wouldn't be so unjust as to not give everybody a chance. And you see, beloved, how simple it is. If they would only believe the words of God, why, according to the doctrines, the scriptures, we're condemned. We're all condemned. There's none good. No, not one. We've all gone astray. We've all come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned against the holy God. And we've all fell under the law. Paul says, I'm carnal, sold under sin. Beloved, do you see yourself like that, sold under sin and justly condemned by the righteous law of God? That's our position. There's none good, no, not one. That is, as far as having fulfilled the law, the scriptures talks about good men. I believe Cornelius was a good man, and different ones it speaks of. But that's comparing man with man. You know, if you're going to compare man with man, you've got some good people. And you got some wicked people, and you got some in between. All grades and all shades. But, beloved, when it comes to the law of God, there's none good, no, not one. And there's none that seeketh after God. They've all got the poison of an ass underneath their tongue. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And there's no fear of God in their eyes. Now, that's God's description. That's not mine. That's the Lord's description. That's the Lord's doctrine. He said there's no fear of God in their eyes. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their throat is an open sepulchre. I believe he told some, he said, you look like a painted sepulchre on the outside. You dress it up, it's all pretty and white, and they get these marble stones, you know, and bury the dead in. But inside, they're full of dead men's bones. And that's what the apostle says, you who were dead in trespasses and sins. To be in sin, beloved, is to be dead. That is, you're dead to the love of God. You're dead to the doctrine of God. You're dead to Jesus Christ, His Lamb. You're dead to the things of God. You are alive in sin. You are alienated to God in your mind by wicked works. All of these things are well and alive. But as far as God is concerned, you are dead. You who were dead in your trespasses and sin, has He quickened and made alive. Oh, the grace of God that seeks out a people whom He's foreknown and predestinated and called with a holy calling and has sanctified them in His decree and has glorified them already in His decree. Oh, the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God that has He has abounded towards His people. The Apostle Paul said the grace of God came unto him in much love and faith. Think about it, beloved. If it came to him like that, he says, I'm an example unto all of them who should believe after me. If the Apostle Paul, if the grace of God came to him when he was a persecutor and did everything he could to harm the church, and yet the grace of God came to him, and he said when it came with much love and faith. Him who once persecuted Jesus of Nazareth and would those that followed him, he immediately loved him. When grace comes, it comes with love. It comes with faith. No more was he a heretic, and those that worshipped him a heretic, but he was Christ Jesus the Lord. What would thou have me do, Lord? He was no more a heretic, but he was. It was not some sect way off out of the way through ignorance being worshipped as he looked at it, but he was Lord of all. King of all. He was God incarnated in the flesh. He was His Lord and His Master, His teacher and His guide. He was all and in all. And so when He come with an abundant abundance of love and faith. And beloved, if you have faith in Christ, if you have received Christ in your heart, if He's your Savior, if He's your King, if He's your Lord, if He's your Lamb, if He's your sacrifice, if He's your priest, if He is the one that's delivered you from your sins, beloved, it's because God in His rich mercy has come to you with faith, abundance of faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God, and all men have not faith. That's the Scriptures. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know why? Because he that cometh unto Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, the grace and the mercy of God, beloved. I can recall the day when I'd went by this place so fast, I wouldn't even have seen it. And neither would I want to look at it nor come in here. But now, it's the love of my life, beloved. The doctrine that Christ has given us in the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It liberates from the ensnaring snares of the devil and false Christ and false apostles and false ministers. It's the love. David said it's more, it's better than honey and the honeycomb. It's more precious than the gold of Ophir, the word of God, the commandment of God, the precepts of God. It's the greatest treasure this side of earth. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. He is all that we desire and need, beloved. Doth any man lack wisdom? Let him ask of God. And He giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Oh, what a wonderful God we have through Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, the Lamb of God that's put away the sin of the world. He has put away, beloved, your sin to where you can now approach our holy God. And we don't have to come to Him in fear. We don't have to hide with superstition and with animosity our enmity in our mind. Adam and Eve went and hid, you know. God said, "Where art thou?" They said, "We are naked." He said, "Who told you you was naked?" They didn't. When they were made, they weren't afraid. They had walked with God in the cool of the evening. As He talked with them, the voice of God in the Garden of Paradise. And there was all fellowship and love, and all of a sudden they hid. They were naked. And beloved, that's why you got on clothes today and I got on clothes, because we feel to be naked. And the soul is naked before God, and it fears Him in nature. And that's why the natural man hates the Old Testament and the law of Moses, is because he sees a just God, a God that's a God of vengeance against sin, those that sinned against Him. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay." But to the Lord's dear people, all the love of God that comes to the heart and comes with faith and love, and it comes by grace. You don't merit it. You don't deserve it. You're not earned. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by grace. Through faith you're saved, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. All the wonders of it all, the grace of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Isn't it wonderful, beloved, to be rooted and built up and steadfast in the faith once delivered to the saints? To know, to understand, to believe for your own soul, not for another, but for your own soul, that there are three persons in the Godhead, and that in the person Jesus Christ you have a divine nature and a human nature, a perfect, human, impeccable human nature without sin, a body suitable for God to unite unto Himself and take in union with the very person of the Godhead, that He might be forever. It just wasn't for a little while, beloved. It's forever. That same man, the God-man, is sitting at the right hand of the Father now, making intercession for His dear people that He loved and purchased with His own precious blood, the blood of God. Oh, the wonder of it all. It may sound like fables to the natural man, beloved, but it's the best truth that my soul has ever digested and fed upon. It's something that's more precious than gold. It's like a treasure hid in the field, isn't it? Like a treasure hid in the midst of the world, and yet the world sees it not. The world loves it not. The world doesn't care for it. But God's people do. Beloved, you are a precious sight this morning. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy art thou, O Israel, saved of the Lord. There is a river, the streams thereof make glad the city of God. There is a river, the streams whereof make glad the city of God. They know the joyful sound, and they walk in the light of His countenance. O Israel, happy art thou, O Israel, a people loved of the Lord. What shall we sing, brethren? The published doors of the church open. If there's one or more here that loves the Lord and never has acknowledged Him publicly and would love to do so this morning and follow Him in water baptism, which is the door to the local church, we'll give you that privilege while we assemble together. Rock of Ages, be fine. He's already called for 52. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let's sing, "The Doors of the Church Are Published Open." Cleft for me.
Let me find myself in thee. Let thy law fairen my blood. From thy womb, this I
they'll be on the fourth Sunday, the first and the fourth Sunday. Of course, they invite everybody to come to worship. Also, there's offers being made. And after we can break up here for lunch, and after lunch, we'll have our conference meeting. We want the members to be mindful of that, and anybody who wants to stay with the brother. The Lord willing, the Elder Sunday Powell will be at the church of Oak Creek the 21st of this month. That's a Wednesday night. And he'll be at the crossroads on Thursday night. And we'll be back with the church, Pleasant Hill Church in Statesville, on Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. Sunday night will be St. Light Church in Western State, between Western State and Monday night, the 26th, will be with us at Pine Church, Pine Church. And then Tuesday night, the last one will be at Southern Church. So we, those that can come, let them do a part of work. Now, with the government announcement.
Only the lunch has been brought out. Everybody
able to say. Right. Everybody say we have lunch with us. It's what the sisters and the family of the church brought for us. So we say that we go to fellowship with us if we can. Our hearts and minds satisfied. So Lord, this is this time to worship the Father. I'll listen to the neighbors again. Thank you for our church. Which is the church of religion, our church, and that's what we do. How we thank you, Lord, for thy tenderness, love, and kindness, and thy promise to do thy service. We thank you, Lord, for the church here. Pray that thou prosper her, bless her, keep her, O Lord, that it might be thy mind, that we might have our witness. Today, to thy wondrous love and grace. Dismiss us, man, thy care, that the words of thy life and the marriage of
Amen.